Hello, and welcome back to the Modern Court Reporter podcast, where we discuss all things court reporting. As always, I'm Dan Malgren.
And I'm Darlene Williams.
In today's episode, Darlene and I are honored to be joined by Amy Bolin. Amy has been a court reporter since 1981, when she started as a freelance reporter in Weirton, West Virginia. Amy moved to the Pittsburgh area in 1983 to continue her freelance career before joining VITAC in September of 1989 as a real-time captioner. Amy has worked hard throughout her career, obtaining her RPR, CRR, RMR, RDR, CRC, as well as being nominated and bestowed the FAPR. Amy, we're delighted to have you join us today.
Thank you, Dan. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, Amy, and thanks for taking time to share your experience with our listeners. And that's quite the alphabet soup we've got there. Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you, Darlene.
Before we go too deep into our discussion today, can you please share with us how you got into court reporting first, and then what got you into the world of captioning?
Sure. I think like most court reporters, I knew nothing about court reporting. I didn't know about the profession or the machine, but my father had a very good friend who was an attorney. And, you know, with a general question one day of what are you going to do when you graduate, he followed up my response with, you ought to think about court reporting. So at that time, I was in 10th grade. So we had three court reporting schools, believe it or not, brick and mortar in Pittsburgh at the time. So I scheduled a visit with each. I committed to one while still in 10th grade. And then instead of heading off to college, I went to court reporting school. So that's how I got in my court reporting career. As far as my captioning career, it really was a right time, right place opportunity. Having worked in Pittsburgh, Darlene, you know Joe Karlovitz. So yes. I worked for the freelance firm at the time, and he and his partner had started a captioning company covering a local station. They had an opportunity to break into a national network when NBC offered them the Today Show. So they needed another captioner and gave me the chance to move over from the court reporting company to the captioning company, which was literally across the hall. So I took it. Wasn't a long commute. Captioning was really in its infancy, moving to toddler stage at that time. So I entered the field really at the perfect time. VITAC was small, but grew to be the largest captioning company in the world. And I'm proud to have been there so early on and to help foster the growth of such a successful company.
That's an awesome progression. I think it's inspiring for our students to hear that there are so many options in this business and to know that if you just work hard at your skills, it's easy to find that target that's just right for you.
I agree.
Okay, so let's jump into our topic for discussion today. Amy, when I put out the call for someone with experience using Intuit Self-Employed, you indicated that you'd been using this program for some time now. First of all, why don't you explain the overall idea behind the Intuit program, and then we'll jump into the details.
Okay. So basically, the QuickBooks Self-Employed program is a money management accounting app for small businesses and independent contractors. So I think if you talk to experienced court reporters, they'll tell you that it's easy to get caught up in all the tasks revolving around earning money and ignore the tasks that involve tracking important information and receipts that will be needed for, say, tax filing and timely tax payments. So it's really, I think, important to remember it's a short fall into that trap, but a long climb back out. So right. Having an accounting app can help keep you financially organized, which is a really important task.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the explanation, Amy. Can I start with the obvious question first? What do you need to track as an independent contractor?
Well, I hate to keep saying taxes, but it's basically everything you need for your tax preparation. So just to hit on the basics, like you said, the most obvious is income. So you need to track any income you earn as a court reporter, or if you scope or help edit for another reporter, or maybe you teach piano lessons on the side, that's income, you need to track that. If you're working strictly for a freelance firm, you'll get 1099s for the year. If you have your own clients, you'll need to track that income as well. Maybe, like I said, you do scope for someone else, or maybe you have your own clients that your source of income is just getting a check from an attorney or different attorney's offices. So those are all receivables. On the other side of the balance sheet, you have your payables or your expenses, and you need to keep a record of all business-related expenses, your estimated taxes, your vehicle expenses, home office expenses, and medical expenses.
Very good. So what types of receipts are necessary for tax purposes as an independent contractor?
Well, as an independent contractor, you really have to pay attention to those taxes all year long, not just that traditional April 15th deadline. So we have to pay quarterly estimated taxes to possibly several entities. Saving and organizing receipts as you incur the expenses is the best way to be prepared to meet those deadlines. So any business expense you intend to use as a tax deduction requires documentation. Now, if you're unsure if an expense is deductible, you need to consult your accountant, and it's best to save the receipt just in case either way. But what receipts you'll have is going to depend on what your business model is as an independent contractor. For example, I work primarily for freelance firms, and I don't have any of my own personal clients. So some ICs have a mix of their own clients, and they also take work from freelance firms, while others may have a full book of their own clients. So depending on how you work in that environment, you may have varying types of business expenses to track and receipts to maintain. So if I don't mention a particular expense, it doesn't mean it's not tax deductible and that you shouldn't be tracking that expense. But probably one of your biggest expenses will fall into that category of your equipment, your computers, your hardware, software, maintenance agreements for your software. So you need to keep all that payment information. Keep receipts for any insurance you have on your equipment or for your professional liability insurance. You want to keep receipts for notary expenses, subscriptions, licenses, memberships to professional organizations, expenses related to continuing education for any certifications you have, obviously materials and supplies, shipping for exhibits or transcripts, parking and tolls. If you travel for your jobs and incur housing expenses and meal expenses, you would want to keep those receipts as well.
Okay, so now that we know the kinds of receipts that we should be keeping, what's the best way to track that important information?
Okay, Darlene, the best way to track important information is in electronic form. The old shoebox method just doesn't work anymore. So today we're talking about the QuickBooks Self-Employed app. And with that app, you can just simply snap a picture of a receipt with your phone and upload the receipt, or you can scan it into your computer and upload it. I personally like to scan receipts into my computer. I save them in folders by tax year and subfolder categories and then upload them to the app. Scanning them into the computer and using folders might not be necessary. I'm thinking that might be a reflection of my age, but I do think using an accounting app is an essential tool. Tracking income and expenses is not fun. But as an independent contractor, you need to do it not only for your tax purposes, but you need to be able to forecast your earnings and expenses and balance one against the other. So I recommend establishing a routine. Maybe you upload income and expenses once a week. Maybe you upload all income on a job-by-job basis and then add in expenses as you incur them. Or perhaps you dedicate one day a month to catch up on all of your accounting tasks and securing your receipts.
All right. And which accounting program would you say is best?
Okay, Dan, that's hard to say. When I made the switch from employee to independent contractor, I did a little research online for accounting apps, and I found reviews by entities like PC Mag and business.org and a couple others that touted QuickBooks Self-Employed app as the number one solution for small businesses and independent contractors. So that was really good enough for me. I thought that's what I'll do. In preparation for our talk today, I did another quick search. And again, QuickBooks Self-Employed was still ranked number one. But there are others. So I'd suggest you read about the various apps, compare their offerings, match them to your needs. First off, for me, was ease of use, just a really important aspect. For you, you have to think about what are your important business needs. Is it invoicing capability, integrating third-party payment solutions, automatic mileage recording, linking bank accounts and credit cards, report generation. So I suggest you do a comparison and find the app that best suits you.
And I understand, Amy, that you use QuickBooks Self-Employed?
I do. I've been using it for 4 years. And as I mentioned, other than the comparisons that I saw online, I don't have any personal experience with any other apps. I've not used any other apps, but I'm really satisfied with QuickBooks. I have to say the one thing I like about it is that I was able to dive in headfirst to what I felt were the most important features for me. And then over time, I discovered different features that I initially didn't use, but really came to like. So they're always also developing new features and making improvements. They even have a way for you to provide feedback and request improvements.
And could you tell us how you would get started with QuickBooks?
it's probably silly to just say Google it and sign up right now. But that's what I did. When I first subscribed, though, they offered a 6-month introductory reduced rate. And I believe that's still available. And I really think once you get 6 months under your belt, you're most likely not going to unsubscribe and switch when the regular rate kicks in. But to answer your question, getting started is fairly straightforward and it's not overwhelming. You create an account with a username and password and then set up your personal profile. And your personal profile has a few components, but not all of which have to be set up initially. So you have to set up your subscription and payment, whether you're going to pay it monthly or a single annual payment. That's really the only part of the profile that is required to be set up initially. Your personal profile also includes vehicle information, home office information, healthcare information, all for your tax purposes and calculating your deductions. So you can set up and link bank accounts and credit cards for transactions, and also set up email forwarding of receipts, say to your accountant, if you would like to. You can even invite your accountant to have direct access to your online account. But again, other than your subscription payment information, you can set up and change your profile at any point.
And then once we have an account set up, what's next, Amy?
Okay, this is going to sound like a lot, but it's really, really user-friendly. So every time you open the app, it opens to your homepage, and it's really nice because it shows you a current overview of all of your information. So it shows you your current income to date, your mileage to date, any tax deadlines you have coming up, and also your expenses to date. And then you have menu choices so that you can enter transactions, mileage, you can take a look at your tax reports and create invoices if you would like. So in the transaction menu, that's where you would track and categorize your transactions by date, by name, the amount of the transaction, whether it's business or personal, and that's important to include that, and then include a category. So is it income? Is it a business expense? Is it a computer? Is it insurance? There's a large number of categories that you can choose to give to each expense or your income. And there's several ways that you can import these expenses. You can manually enter an expense, or if you like to and you've linked your business credit card or a bank account, you can import expenses directly from your credit card or your bank account. You can actually connect your Amazon account so that you can view and import expenses from there. You can just snap a photo of a receipt from your phone and scan a receipt and upload it and enter the expense that way. On the income side, it can be entered manually or imported from a linked bank account, a PayPal account, or whatever option your clients use to pay your invoices. So the app really allows you to work in a way that's most suitable to you, whether you want to use the app exclusively through your phone, use a tablet, your laptop, or a combination of those.
Interesting. So how would I deal with things like mileage and invoices?
Well, it's really pretty easy. For mileage, you include the date, the mileage, and the purpose of the trip. And then the app tallies up the total miles calculated against the current IRS mileage rate for tax purposes. So that's pretty simple. Now, to be honest, if you were to ask me for something that I don't love about the app, I'd say that I do not love the auto tracker feature for mileage. I prefer to open the app and enter my mileage. I gave the auto tracker a chance, but I found that for no particular reason, it would break a separate trip into partial trips. And the automated feature tracks every mile you travel. So you need to go in the app then and designate each trip as either business or personal, or just delete your personal trips. And for me, the auto tracker just felt like a lot more work. So they do have a new feature that I haven't tried yet, and that allows you to choose to just import your trips from Google. So despite whether you manually enter it, you use the auto tracker, or import from Google, the mileage is tallied for tax purposes and integrated with the rest of your tax report. That's the mileage part of your question. The invoices are easily created. You can establish client lists that work similar to a contact list. You can accept payments online with credit cards or have free bank transfers. The status of each invoice is tracked to show whether it's a draft, whether it's been sent, whether it's been paid, whether it's overdue, and by how many days it's overdue. And then you can sort invoices by the date, the invoice number, client name, status of an invoice. Now, I mentioned something I don't love, so I'm going to mention something I really do like, which is you can also color code all your invoices and expenses by client. So I think that's a really helpful organization tool.
Absolutely. So, of course, we know we have the issue of taxes. How does QuickBooks help you with your taxes?
Okay, I stole a line from Jerry Maguire. So I say it's a help me help you. So for me, it's QuickBooks helps me help myself with my taxes. So I have to keep up my routine of entering all of my information regarding income, expenses, and mileage. Choose the category for each expense is important for taxes as well, because the app will actually separate Schedule C expenses. I know that's probably, it's over my head a little bit, but I know that's an important part of my taxes. And when I print out my reports, my accountant uses that. So categorizing your expenses is important. As long as I put my information in, it will calculate my quarterly estimated federal taxes and remind me when they're due. I can even pay them right through the app, or I can download and print the report. I can email it directly to my accountant. The app does not calculate an estimate for state or local quarterly estimated taxes. That's obvious because those rates are different for every location. But you just use the report to calculate those yourself. It also generates an annual federal tax report and it reminds you when they're due. Of course, I send that off to my accountant for my tax preparation. I don't handle that myself.
I assume that QuickBooks can generate reports of the various categories of expenses and income. Can you detail those a little more for our listeners?
Sure, Dan. There's several reports that can be generated. Each of the reports can be just simply viewed in the app if that's what you want to do, or they can be printed, they can be downloaded or emailed off to your accountant. The reports can be generated at any time, and the different reports are a mileage log, a profit and loss statement, business and personal expense logs, receipts logs, tax summary, and a detailed tax report. Also, I should mention that you can at any time just filter your transactions, any of your incomes or expenses by dates, client, category, and just download that information if you need it at any time.
Amy, do you work with an accountant, and do you recommend that new reporters also look at working with an accountant?
Well, I'm certainly not a tax specialist. I just pay my taxes. But I've heard a lot of stories about independent contractors who have found themselves in a bad place with taxes. You may have heard those types of stories too, Darlene. And it's not a place most of us want to be. So I think it's wise to work with an accountant, especially when you're a newer reporter, but even if you are experienced. When I transitioned from my employee status to independent contractor status, I took a few months just to acquire all my equipment, get my insurance, my notary, and I definitely set up an appointment with my accountant so that I could take a proactive and responsible financial approach to being an independent contractor. He set me up on a path where I don't typically need him except for our annual tax preparation, but he's always there if I do run into something that I'm unsure about. So I think it's really important as a new reporter entering a career as an independent contractor to get advice and guidance early on so that you don't make financial mistakes.
Yeah, that makes sense. What kind of documents would I need to submit to that accountant?
Well, I think this is kind of a tricky question, again, because I'm not a professional accountant, but I think it depends on whether, obviously, you're an employee or an independent contractor, and whether you've set up like an LLC or an S-Corp, whether you file as an individual, and there's probably quite a few other factors. But you would definitely submit any business-related expenses, any business-related mileage, and then, of course, on the income side, any W-2s or 1099s. Beyond that, and depending on your employment status, your accountant would have to provide you with that guidance. I use the QuickBook app exclusively for my business. I don't include any personal expenses into that app. So at the end of the year, I generate and export the tax reports from QuickBooks and submit those to our accountant. I don't give him any actual receipts unless he asks for them. Generally, you don't need to provide your accountant with the receipts if you've got those thorough reports. I think they'd appreciate the reports more than the pile of receipts. This is kind of on a personal note, but on any tax documents related to our personal family finances, I have that in a separate spreadsheet. It's not in my QuickBook reports. I keep those separate. So it's possible, though, to import and track all of your expenses, all of your mileage, everything into QuickBooks, but just tag it as personal and business so that when you export the tax reports, they wouldn't include non-deductible personal items. I just choose to keep mine separate.
Very good. And finally, Amy, can you make any recommendations or offer some advice to our listeners on the topic of working with an accountant?
Well, I definitely recommend if you're new to your career that you meet with an accountant early on and develop a relationship for advice and services. I mean, every one of us has different needs, some more complex than others, and those needs are going to change through your career. So I'm sure you've heard people say you don't know what you need until you need it. So hopefully an accountant can help you understand and anticipate what your needs will be and what they'll change, how they'll change, so that you're prepared as you progress through your career.
Very good. So I guess on a related topic, could you give our listeners just a quick synopsis of how you actually differentiate your job assignments in QuickBooks so that they know what information they would need to include for expenses related to that job?
Sure. You know, again, it helped me because I planned ahead a little bit with those couple of months. But when you work for different freelance firms, you quickly realize that freelance firms identify their jobs by job numbers. So I thought that's probably the best way for me to identify my jobs and expenses as well. So although I also associate the firm's job number, I created my own job number system. So the very first job I took as an independent contractor, I gave it the number 001. I used three numbers because I didn't want it to look like my very first job. So I put three numbers in there and assumed that someday all three of those would be different digits. But I assign that to the job. And so when I bill for that, I use that number as my invoice number. Any expenses related to that, in the title of that expense, I put that number. So for instance, if I had to pay for parking, I would title that transaction as job 001, parking expense. And then if I had tolls on a highway to get there, I would put that expense as job 001, tolls. If I keep the paper receipts, which I tend to still keep my paper receipts, although you aren't obligated to if you've scanned them or you have an electronic version, I'll actually physically write the job number on there. If I have to go to FedEx to ship exhibits, when I put that mileage into my mileage, I put in that it's job 001 shipping FedEx exhibits. For my mileage, I put RT for round trip travel to job 001. I also, all of your, at least in this app, all of your entries for expenses and income have a little place where you can put a note. So generally, I'll also put in there the job number from the firm too, so that I can kind of keep that all organized. That's worked really well for me. Even in my, I have actually a date book, you know, a schedule book that I manually write in, and I put the job numbers in there as well. I think it's worked well for me. And I think if I ever had to, if I was ever audited or had to go back and kind of correlate all my expenses and justify them, I think it would help to be able to say, well, here was my income and here was the expenses associated with that income. And if you do it from the first day with your very first job, then you're set the rest of the way through.
Right. Much like court reporting, redundancy is the best course of action.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, Amy, I cannot thank you enough for sharing this valuable information with our followers. You've provided lots of detailed information for them regarding this issue of record keeping and hopefully removed any anxiety about how they can get started on the right foot.
I hope so. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Amy, for joining us, and keep up the great work out there. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Modern Court Reporter.